Watch it not start.
Oh,
oh,
see,
very funny.
Charles
very
cares
funny.
About the holiday.
Oh my!
You're the
God.
Only one, Kai. You're the
somebody
only
has
one.
To be Scrooge. Somebody has to be the Grinch, and that's me. I'm Kai Rizdahl. Welcome back to Make Me Smart. Make it the name make sense. Friday, 8 December is where we are on the calendar.
And I'm Kimberly Adams. Thank you for everyone. Thank you, everyone, for joining us on our happy hour, our YouTube live stream, which we like to call Economics on Tap. It is our last episode of the year, and some of us are in the holiday spirit. Some of us.
It's Jasper. No, wait. Hold
Jasper
on.
Even has a bow. I don't know if you can see it. The mic's in the way. But Jasper has a bow.
It's not that I'm not in the holiday spirit. I just don't manifest the way you do.
That's fair. That's fair. Everyone holidays in their own way. That's fair.
That is right.
That's very fair.
Sarah Slosher says she loves your tiara.
Thank you. It's a fascinator. Kai actually got that right before the show. He figured it out. He was pretty, close. Well, close to
I was
close
almost right. I called it, what did I call it?
Almost.
A spectator? Yeah.
Yes, you called it a spectator. But I mean, it's like, it's a synonym-ish.
Yeah. Right? I'd go there.
Yeah, you bet. Okay. What are you drinking?
I'm going to out myself here. So I'm having a cup of coffee.
You're blocking the view. You're blocking the view. There's something in front of your camera.
So the way I have to do this is that...
Okay.
Hang on. So my setup here, so I don't have to schlep my Marketplace laptop home, is I put my iPad up on a couple of boxes in the shed. I have a lot of boxes in the shed. And then I prop my phone on top of that to get the YouTube comments. And I had the phone too close to the thing. Anyway, so I'm having a cup of coffee in a Starbucks California mug. I have to drive later. In fact, right after this thing. In fact, right after we do this pod, I'm going to see Ben Tolliday for a project we're working on.
Oh,
here.
Ben Tolliday!
Yes,
yay!
Yes, Ben is he's got himself set up in his own studio in like a garage. It's really great. I was there a couple of months ago tracking stuff for him. I have to drive, so I'm not going to drink. But I'm having a cup of coffee in a Starbucks California mug that, okay, don't judge me, was sitting on the curb in front of our neighbor's house for like a week and a half. And I enjoy a good coffee mug. And so after a week and a half, I took it and I put it in the dishwasher and now I use it.
Hey, reduce, reuse, recycle. I'm here for it.
There you go. There you go. All right. Anyway, what are you drinking?
I am having something called, you know, I realized that apparently, and this is, you know, people think I know a lot about cocktails, but I know a lot less than people think. There are apparently rules to which cocktails are supposed to be shaken and which ones are supposed to be stirred based on, like, what the ingredients are. I didn't know that. But anyway, this is a Stone Fence. It is apple brandy, apple cider with a dash of Angostura bitters. And it felt very like, it's a little fall, but I like apple cider in the winter. So, and I don't really want a hot drink. So that's what I'm drinking.
Is that the whole, you don't want to like bruise the gin if you shake a martini or whatever the hell it is, right?
I have no idea. Gin is the devil.
Me neither. Yeah. Shaken not stirred.
But let's see what
007. That's right. That's exactly right.
Yeah. All right, let's see what everybody's drinking. Susanna has a cream soda diet Dr. Pepper. I was just reading an article about Dr. Pepper because it was like talking about how the ingredients are still so secret, and you know, it was like developed for medicine first or something like that. Anyway, love it. Zevia Creamy Root Beer here in D.C. that Ellie's drinking. Phil is having a dirty martini with devil gin. Yes, it is the devil.
That's right. Oh, my goodness. Wait, Scott Veters, and I'm sorry I'm probably mispronouncing your name. He's having water at 30,000 feet, give or take a few feet. That's so wild. Somebody's listening to this or watching this in an airplane? That's freaking wild.
Love that.
That's amazing.
In-air Wi-Fi.
That's amazing.
All right. Let's see. Oh, and Kevin in Raleigh says, no beverage for me tonight, but happy Hanukkah. And he has apple cake. And that apple cake looks delicious. And had latkes for dinner. Happy Hanukkah, Kevin.
Happy
Hanukkah, wonderful.
Everybody.
All right.
DiSarno and decaf? I don't even know what that is. Delta Wi-Fi,
I think, is how you say it.
Weeders, probably. Oh, yeah. Delta Wi-Fi.
Yeah, it's like a, cool. I think it's a coffee liqueur, if I'm not mistaken. But anyway, yeah, Trader Joe's cheap beer for Christopher King. Love it. All right.
Trader Joe's has some really good beers. But anyway, yes, let's get to some news.
Oh, wait, one more drink. Jonathan Evans is drinking something called A Change of Address, a non-alcoholic cocktail from Eric Nelson. 3/4 ounce lemon juice, 3/4 ounce maple syrup, 1 teaspoon soy sauce. You shake it and pour it and add 3 ounces of Coca-Cola. That sounds fascinating. Huh. I want to hear more about this and how it actually tastes.
I'm going to say no.
All right. What's your news, Kai?
Okay. So I will give you the item, and then I will tell you why I picked it. From the New York Times today, updated at 4:12 p.m. Eastern Time, the head of the OPEC oil cartel, the New York Times writes, alarmed that nations gathered at the United Nations Climate Summit in Dubai are considering an agreement to phase out fossil fuels. The head of OPEC has directed the group's members to scuttle any oil deal that would affect the continued production of sales of oil, gas, and coal. Now, obviously, if we're not going to set the planet more on fire, we have to phase out the production of oil, gas, and coal. So that's just ridiculous on its face. But here's why I bring it up. If we are going to solve any of the intractable problems that face this country and the planet, whether it's global warming or the threat to democracy here at home or our budget deficit or how we treat the poor or anything, people are going to have to vote against their own self-interest. We're just going to have to do that. And that's what leadership is. Convincing those who are part of your group or who have elected you or chosen you that you have to vote against your self-interest sometimes. And that's what leadership is. You have to compromise. And that's why this one's
I was talking to my best friend a couple days ago about Social Security taxes, because we have the most thrilling of all conversations. but, you know, this idea of whether or not people who make more money should continue paying Social Security taxes on that money.
And
I make a bit more money than she does. She was like, well, what do you think? And I'm like, absolutely. Absolutely, people who make more money. Because then the system would be, it would fix the problem, right?
Right.
And it's like, it's against my own self-interest for me to pay more taxes. But I know that in the aggregate, it would fix that problem that is a looming crisis. Granted, I get it. There's government waste. There's abuse, and our tax dollars could be used more effectively. But it seems like an easy fix. And yeah, it's against my own self-interest, but it would work.
that's such a good example. It is absolutely insane, and I'm Googling this. I don't happen to just know it. It's insane that in 2024, the Social Security wage base limit is set to rise to $168,600. That is to say, taxpayers in this country will only pay Social Security taxes on the first $168,600 that they make. It is crazy that I'm not taxed on way more than that. It's even more crazy that people who make more than I do aren't taxed on way more than that. It's absolutely bananas. It's totally regressive. It does nothing for the social problems of this. It makes me crazy.
So, there's that. Hold on. I want to see what comments people have about this, because I'm sure people have big thoughts. Jeff Bezos. Yes. Xbelix143 says, yes, we have to trust people that they're trying to do the right thing with the money, not highlight the outlying abuses. Yeah. Jason Hildreth says, people in Nordic countries spend 50% on taxes and get healthcare, retirement, and education. Here, I spend 33% and get none of those things. Right. Take the extra 27%. Right. I'm fine with it. That's an interesting way to put it. Okay. Right. My news is a bit more uplifting. So sickle cell anemia is a disease that just has ravaged the Black community. It's one of these diseases that pretty much only affects Black people, and for a long time was under-researched, understudied. And I mean, I grew up with kids who died of this disease, and it you suffer. And not everybody dies, but it's a bad disease. Anyway, it's very painful, and it's typically manifesting kids. Anyway, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, reading from Reuters here, on Friday approved two gene therapies for sickle cell disease, making one of them the first treatment in the United States based on the Nobel Prize-winning CRISPR gene editing technology. This is a huge deal, and it is science fixing a problem. They describe sickle cell disease as a painful inherited blood disorder in which the body makes flawed sickle cell-shaped hemoglobin, impairing the ability of red blood cells to properly carry oxygen to the body's tissues. The disease, which can be debilitating and lead to premature deaths, affects an estimated 100,000 people in the United States, most of whom are Black. This it has a list price of $2.2 million to $3.1 million. I'm guessing maybe that they'll end up getting covered by insurance. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's a life-saving thing. So in the show notes, I've linked to a couple of articles about this, including a really nice piece in Stat News from a woman named Jennifer Fields, Black woman who says she has lived with sickle cell disease for 39 years and talks about how I'll just read what she says. You know, these gene therapies. Yet I find myself teetering between excitement and skepticism. I am thrilled that research for sickle cell disease treatments and possible cures has blossomed. However, I worry that the celebration around this approval is ignoring a significant barrier, a historic legacy of medical mistrust. And she goes on to describe all of the very valid reasons that Black people have to question the medical establishment. And that's going to be part of the effort, you know, as this treatment gets rolled out. So anyway, that's my news.
Yeah, it's a big deal. And if you didn't hear them, and I'm going to guess that most listeners to this podcast are listeners to Morning Edition and All Things Considered, Rob Stein at Morning Edition a couple of times over the past year-ish has done feature stories on this one woman who has or had, because it got fixed, I guess had.
I think she had it. Because she was one of the
She was one of the clinical trials, right?
Clinical trials.
So she had sickle cell, and Rob went through and described her life, and she described in vivid terms how painful it is. And then when the trial worked on her, he went back and talked to her. It was a really good set of stories. So props to Rob for doing that.
For sure, those were great stories.
Yeah.
So
anyway,
you know. In memory of the little girl who I went to church with growing up who did not survive the disease, I'm really happy that this happened.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. All right, we'll take a quick break. Come back and do a little half full, half empty.
Okay, half full, half empty, which is our wonderful game hosted by the also wonderful Drew Jostad. Drew, are you in holiday attire? I know we can't see you, but you're holidaying it, right?
So I can just pretend that I am?
Yeah, you should have lied. You should have lied. You should have lied. Go for it, Drew.
According to Adobe Analytics, sales using Buy Now, Pay Later hit a record 940 million this past Cyber Monday. Are you half full or half empty?
Go ahead.
I'm thinking. You go ahead.
Okay, so here's what I think. I think it's great that consumers still want to buy stuff. I think it's helpful to them if they have the means and the attentiveness to their finances to actually do the paying later. But there be dragons if you don't keep up. So with a very cautious eye toward personal finance, I'm half full.
I'm going to have to go half
crowd.
Empty.
Yeah, the crowd is with you. The crowd is definitely not with me.
It feels like a burgeoning payday loan situation, you know, where people with the least resources end up in these systems that, and look, I've used Buy Now, Pay Later, you know, systems. And it's nice to be able to spread out those payments, again, if you can pay it off in time if you have the resource. And if no emergency comes up, you know, if I had lost my job in the middle of that, that would have really messed me up. But I just worry that so many people are kind of living at the edge of their incomes already. And I, you know, never envy this time of year parents with small children who are trying to do their best to make Christmas special for their kids or Hanukkah special for their kids and stretching a bit more than maybe they otherwise would. And I just, it's nice that this is available, but I worry about it. So I got to go half empty.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Yeah. Drew, what's next?
Half full or half empty on white elephant gift parties.
I've never understood them. Half empty. Just stop. That's it. Sorry, did I give that away too fast?
I'm half empty also with the caveat that I do have a little set of plates that I got as a white elephant gift at a party that I actually love. And I've used them for years and years and years. But I do not need to participate in anymore. Half empty.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Half full or half empty on holiday sweaters?
Like the ugly sweaters or just like themed sweaters?
Well, ugly's in the eye of the beholder, isn't it?
This is so true. Look at you. Sage advice coming from Drew today. Half full. I you know I love a good theme and festivities and outfits and dressing up, so obviously I'm half full.
Can I have no opinion? Because I don't have an opinion on this. I have no opinion.
Okay.
I'm
there you go.
I'm even keeled. There you go.
I'm sorry. Jin Peck says, uh-oh, Kai's face incoming. They were worried about your reaction.
So glad we're doing video. So glad we're doing video.
What's next?
Half full or half empty on the rise of inflatable yard decor for the holidays?
So empty.
Yeah, so it's empty. A little much. And let me just expand this to those 12-foot-tall scary things on Halloween. And this is not about scary things. It's about 12-foot-tall things just being there.
What was
the
name of that skeleton that everybody had that was going viral? Anyway, go ahead.
I enjoy house decorating as much as the next guy, you know. I mean, my Christmas lights have been out front for, you know, a week and a half, and the house gets decorated. We're getting the tree tomorrow, and everything's going to happen inside. But, yeah, we don't need those inflatable big puffy things. Just no.
It's not my particular style of holiday decor, but, you know, I don't want to yuck somebody else's yum. I mean, I, you know, you can make the sustainability argument, but I have my plastic tree downstairs and there are many branches of trees cut down to do my little decorations that I've got behind me. So, you know, glass houses, got nothing.
Fair enough.
All right. We're going to ask the poll on this next one.
Oh, all right. Poll question.
All right. Poll. Everybody in the YouTube live stream who is able and can safely do so, assuming you're not driving, please participate. And while you are doing so, please give us a thumbs up, a like, a follow, all those great things.
All right. The yearly question, are you half full or half empty on those office holiday parties?
Very interesting.
There was a great story about this that I heard the other day where they were basically like giving the rules of, you know, how to not, you know, mess up your life at the holiday office party. You know, it's been interesting in D.C. A lot of the holiday parties have been there are a lot of holiday parties in D.C. because the lobbying groups and the industry groups, which are often the same things, the nonprofits, the think tanks, everybody has a holiday party. Not to mention, you have the individual holiday parties. And sometimes these things get so extravagant. I'm thinking we're like in the capital city in Hunger Games, you know, like living it up here. Sometimes it really does feel like that. I don't know if you've seen the Hunger Games movies?
Yes, I have. Saw the new one, actually.
So, you know, the second movie where, like, after, you know, she survived the Hunger Games and they go to the capital city and they're in that big party and, like, people are drinking stuff to make them throw up so that they can keep eating more. Yes. And it's, like, such excess and it's really jarring. Yes. Sometimes when I'm in parties in D.C., it feels like that. where it's just so jarring. Like the money and the excess and the schmoozing when I know how the rest of the country is experiencing the economy. Anyway, all that aside, there have been a lot of more holiday parties this year because a lot of them were canceled during the pandemic. So people are sort of kicking them up. They're definitely lower key, definitely more sedate than they have been in years past. But anyway, it's been interesting seeing the return of the DC holiday parties. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
All right. So
what's
your
thought on it?
All right. So my thought is they can be fun, but there is ample opportunity for peril, especially for younger employees who may not have the common sense, shall we say, the experience, the savoir-faire to not drink too much, frankly, right? Yeah, exactly. So look, I'm half full because I do enjoy office camaraderie, although – sorry, smiling because people at Marketplace will say, no, he doesn't. Kai's a Grinch. Kai just stays by himself in his office and he sucks. But I'm half full. I think a lot of people say that. I think with due care, I'm half full.
So there are a couple of really great comments here. So QNetX says, half full since ours raised over 700 toys to donate to Toys for Tots via the U.S. Marines. Yeah. That's great. Somebody else says that they can't do it because they're working remotely. Jennifer, I haven't worked for a company that has had one in 15 years. Scott Weeder says, my coworkers live all over the country, so we don't get one. Ben Harris, the one time of year my boss is guaranteed to break out his credit card for an open bar, I am 110% right. full on getting drunk on right. his dime.
Right.
I am half full on holiday parties. I enjoy the marketplace get-togethers. It's nice to see colleagues. A lot of us work remotely or we're in different places. And so it's nice to see people. And like you said, if you can be responsible with it, you know, right. half full. Right. But it's definitely risky. It's definitely risky. Yeah, all right. Totally let risky. Us look at the poll results. Half empty, most people. 55%, thanks, Emily. 55% say that they are half empty on holiday parties. 44% half full with 203 votes. Thanks, everybody, for weighing in.
There we go. There we go.
Thanks, Drew.
All right, and with that, yes, thank you, Drew. Charlton Thorpe on the button there. We are done for 2023. We're taking the rest of the year off. Back new episodes January 8th. Are we sure? Is it January 8th? Why did I have 11th in my calendar? Let's call it January 8th. We'll assume the producer is right. Till then, sharing some of our top episodes of the year, some of the stellar work from our colleagues across the podcast department here at Marketplace. Look for that one in your feeds because we'll be getting that to you as soon as we can.
And in the meantime, if you miss us oh so much, which I'm sure you will, we still want to hear from you. So if you have a submission for the unofficial state drinks, cocktails or mocktails that we were talking about a couple weeks ago, you can still send those in. Also, we're curious to know your New Year's resolutions, if that's your thing. And of course, more importantly, how do you plan to keep said resolutions? Let us know. 508-UBSMART. We're also at makemesmart@marketplace.org.
Make Me Smart is produced, despite what the music says, this is Make Me Smart. It's produced by Courtney Bergsicker. Today's episode was engineered by Charlton Thorpe.
Who has amazing taste in music, if Charles picked it. Who knows? Somebody has great taste in holiday tunes. The team behind the Friday game is Emily McCune and Antoinette Brock. Marissa Cabrera is our senior producer. Bridget Bodner is the director of podcasts. And Francesca Levy is the executive director of digital and on demand. You can
Charles, take us out.
Day, Kai.
There you go.
I saw a little bounce there.
See a little head bob right there? See that?
I saw That's a little me. That's head me bob. I appreciate that. I appreciate that you did that.
I should have turned off my camera first.